And now, your speaker, Jonathan Stubblefield.
And the topic that he's given me tonight is one that the Christian is no stranger to. I know we sing a lot of songs about heaven and the opportunity to be there and what's going to be there. And we know that as far as Christians and what we're striving for, that is our ultimate goal, to get to be in the heavenly city. I know the Apostle Peter said these words in 2 Peter chapter 1, about verse 12 through 13. He said, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." Now notice we said, "though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet or necessary, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." When we start speaking about the facts and about the things concerning heaven, I don't stand up here before you tonight claiming to reveal something new. The Bible's already said it all. And we know that as far as heaven goes, there is so much to say about it. You could do a series of lessons about it, about those that have set their sights on the goal of heaven. And tonight we're going to be talking about an unshakable pursuit of eternity, but we're going to be looking at the aspect of where Christians are striving to get to. Now, as we look at these things tonight, for your consideration, I want you to turn to the book of Revelation. We're going to begin there tonight. And John the Revelator has a lot to say about the city we know the Bible declares to be called heaven. And as we begin looking at these things, as I've said, as Peter said just a moment ago, you know these things. But it's good for us to be refreshed and think about these things for a moment and have them brought back to the forefront of our mind, what we're working for, what we're striving for. Notice with me in Revelation 21, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. And notice what John said. He said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words," now notice what He said, "are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Now notice what He says in verse 7. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Now notice with me as we go on to verse 21, notice what the Bible says as we look at this. "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, and it as it were transparent glass. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. There shall be no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Going on to chapter 22, notice what the Bible says. "He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there, and no need of candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now, as we read of these inspired words tonight, we see that God has prepared an eternal habitation for those who would be followers of him in this life. It's a heavenly habitation. It's not a habitation of this world. It's nothing of this world, if you will. It is something that is eternal and is for those who would be the citizens of it upon their obedience to the gospel here in this world. Now, we know as we look at this tonight that heaven, according to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17, heaven is a real place. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And when the Word of God declares that there is a place called heaven, the child of God can have full assurance in their heart that this place does exist. Now, there will be those in the world today who, when you bring up the subject of heaven, would have differing ideas. You know, a lot of times we see where there are those who, when it comes to heaven, they might associate it with what they enjoyed the most in this life. So I've heard people say before, you know, what's so-and-so doing? You know, now if they passed away, oh, they're playing 18 holes in heaven. You know, speaking of golf. Or they're doing this, or they're hunting, or they're fishing, or they're doing this or that. People, heaven is not like that, as we see what the Bible reveals tonight. But when we look at this tonight, when we look at the subject of heaven, we know that God created a better country, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. A better place than what we have here in this world. And in this place that we read about, this better country, it's a place where God hath prepared for us a city. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, the Bible declares this, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one that is to come." And so as we look at this tonight, we know that heaven is not a myth. And Jesus made this very clear to His disciples as we read from John chapter 14. I invite you to turn there. Very familiar words, but words that oftentimes we read through to make a point, maybe in a sermon or what have you. But look at it in the subject of heaven. Notice what Jesus assured us of. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Do not be worried. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Now notice what Jesus said. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that you may be also." And so as we think about this tonight, this place that Jesus has gone to prepare for His followers, it's the place that we read about in Acts chapter 1 that He ascended to when He left this world. Jesus went to sit down at the right hand of God, as we read about towards the ending of Acts chapter 7. Now, as we look at this, if you will, we see the Bible talks of this heavenly city, and we ask the question, well, who wouldn't want to be there? And as you go out into the world, you can see that many people feel that when they leave this life, that they're going to enjoy the grandeur of heaven. Now, the Bible shows us that heaven is not for everyone. And you might say, what do you mean by that? You know, God is love. God is not willing that any should perish, as we remember Peter declared. But notice this right here. There are stipulations, there are things that must be done for an individual while they are here in this life to be able to get to go to the heavenly city one day. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And notice what Peter said. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 through 14. Now notice what he said. "Nevertheless, we..." Peter speaking to Christians according to his promise, What promise, Peter? The promise we spoke about just a moment ago in John chapter 14. We look for new heavens and a new earth. Now notice this way he says, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Nevertheless, according to His promise, we look for this place. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And so, when we look at this tonight, we see that Peter declares that there are things that must be done in this life to be able to obtain heaven. We have to put ourselves into a spiritual state where we are in God's sight, found in peace, without spot, and blameless. Now, by the title of the lesson tonight, An Unshakable Pursuit of Heaven implies that there is something to be done on our part. Now, that's contrary to what a lot of the world believes today. But the Bible shows us, and always has shown from cover to cover, that there's God's part, then there is man's part. What God has done and what God requires man to do to be in submission to Him. Now, to pursue something, as we saw in the lesson title, entails effort. It shows that there's something to do.